Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for our consideration is the gospel lesson that was just read. You may be seated. Words are inherently prophetic. They seek fulfillment in the reality of what they express. Words are never the end of the matter. Speaking and hearing are never the final goal. The teacher speaks that his students might grow in knowledge and discipline. The author picks up his pen because there are facts to publish and theories to explain. A man inscribes a note in order to bridge the distance between himself and his beloved. Words seek future fulfillment. They are always accompanied by hope. Judaism is a religion of words. The Jews meditate on the verba of Moses, the 10 words of Sinai inscribed in rock by the hand of God. They recite their creed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. For Israel, God is, first of all, to be heard with the ear. He is the God who opens his mouth and speaks. He is the God of words. Thus saith the Lord. This is the constant refrain of his prophets. And yet words are inherently prophetic, and the words of God that spilled from the prophetic tongue make Judaism a prophetic religion. In other words, Israel lives her life in constant expectation of what is yet to come. Circumcision signifies the coming of the seed. The temple inspires hope for an everlasting dwelling of God with his people. The commandments wait for one who would obey them. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, cries the prophet. The words of the prophet offer hope, but they require patience. They promise salvation, but they leave the promise unfulfilled. They fill the future with comfort and confidence, but surrender the present to discontentment and dissatisfaction. Israel lives her life as a woman enduring a prolonged separation from her beloved. And as is the case with many long-distance relationships, Israel lacks patience and seeks a more immediate fulfillment. Indeed, Israel's sin is that she becomes content. Rather than hope for the future, she becomes content with the present. Rather than seek a heavenly homeland, she is content with the earthly Jerusalem. She is content with the temple, content with circumcision, content with the words of Moses. It is because of their contentment that the Jews now reject Jesus and his words in our text for this day. This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? Jesus' words are difficult to accept because he proclaims the end of prophecy and therefore the end of Israel's prophetic life. Jesus does not speak like a Jew. He does not preach like a prophet. The prophets speak of things yet to come. They preach about the latter days and the advent of God's redemption. The prophets speak in the future tense, but Jesus speaks in the present. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the light of the world. Everything the prophets hoped for, Jesus now proclaims to be a present reality in himself. Indeed, throughout the Gospel of John, the prophetic nature of Israel and the present reality of Christ meet in a most profound confrontation. Every time the Jews point to the future, Jesus points to himself. When the woman at the well speaks of the coming Messiah, Jesus simply responds, I am he. He is the reality signified by the temple. He is the seed promised in the rite of circumcision. He is the perfect holiness described in the law of Moses. Jesus' teaching is a difficult lesson. It is a hard saying, for the Jews are now left with a choice. Either they stay with the temple, or they follow the body of Christ. Either they remain with the priests and offer sacrifices, or they trust in the sacrifice of Christ. Either they celebrate the Passover, or they eat and drink of Jesus' flesh and blood. The words of Moses or the words of Christ. This is the conflict of the Jews in our text. And like a woman who would rather receive a letter from her beloved than commune with his presence, many of the Jews reject Jesus and his words. They are content with the temple and reject the body of Christ. They are content with words and reject reality. They are content with prophecies and reject their fulfillment. However, the choice that confronts the Jews in our text is surely similar to the choice that confronts us. Do we want the words of Christ or the words of this world? The world promises everything, but it delivers nothing. The world promises pleasure, but the pleasures soon pass away. Restaurants promise nourishment, but we only get hungry again. Hospitals promise life, but it only ends in death. The world's promises are mere words that lack reality. They are false prophecies that have no fulfillment. Yet somehow, dear friends, we have become content. We are content with the food, the clothes, the cars, and the wealth of this world. We are content with this world's empty promises. We are content with temporal existence. However, such contentment does not at all fill the hearts of the faithful. For when they are confronted with the choice, when Jesus asks the 12, "Do you also wish to depart?" Peter answers, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." The 12 are not content with temporal life. They are not content with the temple, the priests, or the sacrifices. They are not satisfied with prophecy. They want reality. The words of Moses may hold promise, but the words of Christ grant fulfillment. The temple may testify to God's presence, but all the fullness of God dwells bodily in Jesus. Circumcision may identify the child of Abraham, but baptism creates sons of God. The manna may promise relief in the desert, but Christ's flesh and blood raise the dead. In Christ, the faithful find more than words. They find reality. A woman who beholds her beloved for the first time after an extended absence is not content with mere words. She does not greet him with a letter. She is not satisfied with speaking or hearing. Indeed, words cannot express the reality of that moment. At that moment, words must surrender to the most intimate embrace. Dear friends, our religion is not one of words. It is a religion of reality. In this sacrament, we have more than a future hope. We have a present fulfillment. In Christ's body and blood, we have more than words. We have the most intimate communion. Everything that God promises is here delivered into your hands. Here God is no longer merely heard with the ear, but he is seen with the eye, he is tasted with the lips, and he is embraced in the flesh. In light of Christ's presence, who can be content with their temporal existence? Who can be content with the pleasures of this world? Who can be satisfied with the vain promises of our culture? Who can be content with mere words? To Christ be all the glory forever and ever.